Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as we were singing that song, there's power in the blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As we were singing that song, in my spirit, I don't know if she heard me. I turned to her and said it, but I don't know if my wife heard me. But in my spirit, I heard just at that moment, it's all going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's all that she said she heard it. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established. We got two, amen. And it sounds like a few more of you want to agree with that. So praise the Lord. Excuse me, it's all going to be all right. And when we're with God, praise the Lord, that doesn't mean it's just going to be just all right, but it's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. We're going on to greater things. Praise the Lord. You know, there's been a lot of things happening this week. In particular, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff happening. Folks, Jesus said over in Luke, he talked about this. He said, when you see these things happening, you know, he said, don't fret, don't worry, don't be afraid. We have to understand that things are going to happen that aren't going to look good. Amen? There's going to be lots that is happening in this country that's not going to look good. In fact, you know, the Lord's been dealing with my heart on some things. And yesterday, my wife and I were watching some services from some ministers that we trust, and just kind of old services, actually. Going back throughout this year, services that we haven't watched. And what I thought was interesting is that they were saying that some of them were, well, they were saying a lot of the same things that the Lord has been revealing to my heart. Now, that doesn't give me a source of pride, but that does build me up, and it strengthens me knowing that I'm hearing right from God, Lord, glory to God, and that other people are hearing the same thing. But, you know, one of those things is, you know, there's a need to get people to come back to church, amen? There's a need to drive people back into the churches. And I'm not just talking about church people, even church people that don't go all the time but come sometimes. But I'm talking about the people that just don't go to church at all. You know, there's in this world, in this nation, there is an extreme. I'm going to actually address some things, not from a political standpoint, not from a necessarily, kind of from a historical standpoint. But there's some things I'm going to touch on today that the Lord has showed me that will really help us. Amen? Praise the Lord. But we have to understand that sometimes in order to do that, things have to get to a place where people are shaken up a little bit. You know, when I wasn't serving God, when I was born again, but I was off living for the devil, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on around me, and things had to get really bad before I was going to listen. Amen. Of course, we see that throughout Scripture. But how many know if you're faithful that you will be preserved? If you're faithful, you will be, God will protect you. He will keep you through it. Amen. So even though, the 23rd Psalm, which a lot of people love to quote, a lot of people love to, you know, we all know that, I can't quote it right now because that's the way it works for me, you know, and I'm standing in front of you. Praise the Lord, glory to God, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, that 23rd Psalm. Well, in one part of it, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, amen. You know, notice that God was with him as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, if you don't know what that's looking like, well, we're kind of seeing a little bit of that now in our nation, amen? But folks, we can't be moved by those things. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. There's some things that the Lord shared with me to share with you. Glory to God. It's, one of them is there's always hope when you serve God. And that hope is joyful expectation with exclamation marks after it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I always kind of get a kick out of it. You know, you hear people singing old hymns and stuff, and they'll sing a song like this one we just sang is an old hymn. And they might say, like, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. You know, and people sing hymns so often like that, but there's really meant to be exclamations there. Glory to God. Forgive my singing. Even my bad singing is bad. Amen. But it's worse, praise the Lord. But anyway, glory to God. But, you know, we have to remember that there's things, the promises of God is not just, oh, it's a promise of God, another promise of God. No, it's promises of God, hallelujah. It's the thing that's supposed to stir us. You know, an exclamation mark looks kind of like a stir stick, doesn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. And that ball on there, you know what that ball is? I'll tell you what that ball at the end of it is. If you ever shook a can of paint, spray paint, and hear that rattle in there, that's a little, it's not a ball bearing, by the way. That's not what that is. It's a ball. That's for later. If you need to know, you come ask me and we'll talk about it. But it's not called a ball bearing. It is a metal ball that's in the bottom of that paint can. That's the dot on the exclamation. What's that little thing in there for? It's to stir up the paint, get it shaken up. Amen. So an exclamation mark is God's way of telling you through the English language to stir yourself up. Hallelujah. Get excited about what he's doing. Get excited about the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sure there's scripture on that somewhere. Praise the Lord. I just can't prove it right now. Amen. But God wants to make you an example. He wants to make an example out of your life. He wants to make it. He wants your life to be an example of His goodness. Amen. Praise God. And so we have to believe that, and that belief in that is our foundation for all things and where we'll go, what we'll do. Amen. So let's go ahead and start here. We're going to turn to 1 John. I'm looking in the wrong set of notes. I'm just going to put this one aside. It's because I wrote down in this while I was, while the Lord was speaking to me. I'm going to get to this one because I can see it much better. Not that I'm having a hard time seeing, because I'm not. But I just figure if I could preach from this, if I happen to hold it up, you can see it too. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. No, really, the reason I do it, the reason I switched over, the Lord started dealing with me. I was doing a funeral, and I always did my notes on my phone because it was just that's where I write them and that's where I have them, and I just figured that was easier. I carry a Bible too, but I was doing a funeral, and I found because a funeral, there's a lot more just reading than there is preaching, you know. You can't just get up and start preaching at funerals. I don't know why. I always thought that you should be able to. Just so you know, if I happen to miss it or if Jesus tarries and I go home to be with the Lord and you're still around and you come to my funeral, just be ready for a preachy message. Because I'm going to demand that there, you know, that would happen. Praise the Lord that it just that somebody gets up there and preaches fire, gets people dancing and shouting, amen. Praise the Lord, glory to God. That's the way going home should be, amen. Glory to God. So let's turn to 1 John 5:4. See, I've done more funerals this year than I've ever done. I don't think it's just kind of different the way it is. Doesn't mean I've done a ton, but I've done a few more. And, you know, when you do stuff like that, you start to see patterns and things. And one of the things that I've noticed, you know, is that there's, you know, there's not a lot of faith in people for death. I was talking to my pastor about this. He said, we teach people how to live, but we never teach them how to die. You know, at some point, if Jesus tarries, you will go home to be with the Lord. You will pass on. But that's not bad. Glory to God. I said, it's not bad. If you know Jesus, there is no sadness in death. There's no sting in death. You go from glory to glory. You get to walk into something that every one of us wishes we could have. And if you are so afraid of death because of whatever, because you're afraid of not having life here, then you're really missing what God is taught us about death. Amen. Well, my message isn't about death today. It's about having victory. But we do know that Jesus had victory over death. Amen. So Christians, we shouldn't approach those things in sadness. We shouldn't approach them early, but when we approach them on time, when it's a good time to go home and be with the Lord, when we're fully satisfied that we've done what He has called us to do here, you know, there isn't reason to stay anymore. And so that's a time to move on and be with the Lord and be in His glory. Hallelujah. And it's not a sad thing. It's not like we won't ever see Him again, but we will. Amen. But we'll see them better. Praise God. 1 John 5, gotta turn there too, verse 4, says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Praise the Lord. You know, as we look around, we see things happening. You know, we see a lot of things falling apart. And of course, it's going to fall apart. I'm just going to tell you, like, not even to get political, but just so you understand, the course of this world is not getting better. It will not get better. It is going to progressively get worse until Jesus comes back. The Bible tells us so. Amen? But that's okay because Jesus said that as the world is going to pot, you what? Be of good cheer, exclamation point. Stir it up, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we understand by this scripture right here that whatever is born of God overcomes. But it says This is the victory that has overcome the world. And it explains it. What is it? It is our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean it stops everything? No. Does it mean it makes everything better? No. What does our faith do? Our faith keeps and protects us during the storms of life. You know, Jesus, I can't get over this. Like Christians, we forget about this. And in times of trial, we always kind of, this is why we need reminding. Amen. It's not because you're dumb or anything like that. It's just, this is the way that it is with people. We forget the promises of God. The importance of coming together establishes these things in us. But, you know, we're given examples about building your house on the rock and things like that. And why? Because when the storms come. And we're told that the storms will come. And then we're told again that the storms are coming. And then we're told that they'll come this way. They'll come this way. We're told that they will press us, but they won't crush us. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. So we're going to see things around us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But those things aren't going to stop us if we stay in faith. If we stay connected to what God, and what is the faith to stay in? Just trusting God, believing him in his word. And we're going to see that we have every reason to trust him and believe him. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have been given the truth, yet at any given message, you know, in any given message, I am fully engaged. You can tell generally that I'm fully engaged in preaching. I could preach long, and that's because I am fully engaged into it. But the truth is that how many people are really fully engaged with what's being preached? You know, I mean, it's real easy when you're sitting there and you're having the message preached to you. You know, you're sitting there for, God forbid, an entire hour. I know it's a long time, praise the Lord, and all that stuff. But you sit there for an entire hour to get the word. And there's some people that come in for the first time, like they preach for an hour, and they're like shocked by that. It shouldn't be shocking that we sit and listen to the word of God and the promises of God and truths that will change our life for just an hour out of the week. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day. That's 1/24 of the day. How many hours are in their week? Somebody quick do the math. Maybe somebody knows. There's a whole bunch of hours in the week. Amen? And still, if you're at one church service a week, that's 1 hour out of an entire week. Like, what is that when it's like you need, we don't need to figure it out. I know you're like, I know I give you a task and then it's like, I just hear you rattling off the numbers and I'm like, I can't preach anymore. I just got to, okay, just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was a nice way of just saying, stop. Stop with the numbers. Praise the Lord. Hey, I can't, we'll talk about it later. Yeah. Well, if we're going to talk about it later, I'm just going full bore at it now, amen? Praise the Lord. You didn't know I married Rain Man, did you? That's a joke. I didn't marry Rain. If I had married Rain Man, those numbers would have come out faster. I'm just going to sit down. You want to finish it? Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That I bet we will be having to talk about later. Woo, hallelujah. Man. Boy, the heat's... the heat's turned up in here. Where was I anyways? Praise God, hallelujah. But one, you know, we're talking about a little bit of time throughout the whole week to get to get stuff in us and stirred in us, amen? And that's... And, you know, if you're smart, you'll go through the rest of the week, you'll get into other sermons and you'll listen to things and you'll go back and listen to sermons and stuff like that. And those are people that really be changed. Amen. But we need faith built in us. You know, how engaged are we in the service? You know, it's easy to get distracted. I know because I've sat there too, and it's easy when you're sitting there to be distracted by lunch or to be distracted by, you know, the ceiling tiles. We don't have ceiling tiles, but, you know, the ceiling whatever or lights or, you know, the what baby's crying or what baby's not crying, what baby's just cute, you know, all these things. But really, you know, we're getting the word, and we need to embrace that, glory to God, as we come. We need to set our minds on the truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. Amen? But some of the truths that we're establishing here today, I really believe will help us in these times, because there are a lot, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to get real honest with you. You know, right after the election this year, I deleted my news apps out of my phone. And I did real well for a couple months with new stuff. I did real well just being, you know, just being not too bothered by new stuff that was going on. But then when I heard about a few major events that happened and I didn't know about it, I was kind of like, man, maybe I better download the news app again because I need to at least know what's going on. And so I did. And then I started watching what was going on. And of course, I find myself every so often going back to it and looking and throughout the day and looking and seeing what's going on. And I'm not saying it's wrong to know what's going on, folks, but I'm just going to be honest with you. If we're so focused on what's going on in the world and we're not being focused on the Word of God or what God is doing, we're going to get distracted. And when we get distracted, it's going to be a thing that's going to get us into a place of fear because you can't watch the news. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. The media in America has gotten really bad, and it spends most of its time lying. And so if you are believing everything that you are seeing on the news, I'm just telling you right now, you are falling victim of, not even victim, you're putting yourself in a place of believing absolute lies and causing yourself to be deceived. I mean, you know, even things like this, and you know, you can agree with the president or not, that doesn't matter. I happen to not agree with some of the things that he said and done, and that's an absolute truth, and I'm not saying that to come against him. But I'll just say, even things like this where they're saying, you can't talk anymore, we're going to silence you. Like, listen, that's not American and that's not godly. And the reason that is I'm not trying to stir you up and be like, oh, pro-American and da-da-da. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm trying to get you to understand that God built this country. And the reason that God built this country is so truth could be prevalent. But when you stifle things and you only let one person talk, or when you only let one side talk, what you do is you create an atmosphere for lies and deception. Now, God's people, God's Christian people, if they are watching this stuff and they're filling their hearts and their minds with this stuff, then that's the stuff they're going to believe. Yeah. Let me ask you truthfully, when you think about the pandemic, do you really know what to believe? No. Do you really know what's truth? No. And the reason you don't really know what's truth is because everything has been manipulated and lied and all these things. And so that's why we do the best that we know how. We follow the Spirit for the rest. It's not wrong if somebody takes precautions. I never think that it is. It's not wrong if you get a vaccination or a flu shot if you have peace about doing such things. I personally get the flu shot every single year. I am not directing anyone else to do that because my wife doesn't get the flu shot every year for the same reason I do get it. I have direction to get it. I have peace about getting it, and she hasn't had the peace to get it. And so you see there, even in that situation, that you have to follow peace, but you also can't judge others. But the thing that I'm trying to present to you is this. If what we are believing is all the things outward, praise the Lord, we're going to be deceived. In fact, you know how the Lord likes to speak to me in the shower? I think it's just because I'm cleaning things up and he's happy about that. So he'll talk to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said to me this morning as I was in the shower, if all you believe is just what you see, then you are in a load of trouble. Remember, Jesus said, having not seen yet believed, that one was blessed. You remember when he was dealing with Thomas, doubting Thomas, right? Saying these who have not seen yet believe, they are the ones that are blessed. So we have to understand that what we see isn't always going to be right. Sometimes what you see is going to be right, but not something that you need to meditate on. Yes, sometimes there's trouble around. Is that supposed to be your focus? No. You'll recognize, okay, that's trouble, and then you move on to something else. You know, I think the Lord taught us this so much as he walked the earth and the accounts that were given of the things that he did is that he didn't focus on all the stuff. And I'm just going to tell you right now that we use Facebook. I don't use it personally at all anymore. I'm not telling you not to. You have to follow your heart on that. We use it for the church as a form of outreach. That's what we primarily use it for. But I'm just going to tell you right now that there are so much lies and deception spread on social media. You know, I switched to another social media personally thing just because it's just a way for me to express, like, creativity. I just put pictures or whatever, and it's nothing. It's all lighthearted, just like, fun. There's nothing else. If anyone starts talking political or anything on there, I just delete them. I don't care who they are, just get rid of them. I don't want to hear it, don't want to see it. I don't want to see your thoughts or whatever. I don't care about anything. You want to sit down and have a discussion with me, fine. But I don't need to see your propaganda, I ain't going to do it. And I'm just telling you that it's dangerous. These avenues are dangerous. And you need to strongly consider not necessarily getting rid of these things, but maybe getting rid of the things that cause you to be stirred. If it stirs you any direction other than what God is stirring you, it's garbage. It is poisoning your mind. And if you allow it to be there, you will be deceived. You will be open to the attack of the devil, and you will not be able to escape, because that is what becomes your faith. Amen. If your belief is based on just what you're seeing, and it's so easy to get there. And of course, I say these things, you know what I'm saying is true. If you've spent 15 minutes on there, you know that when you see this over and over and over again, it affects you, doesn't it? It will make you mad. It makes me mad. A friend of mine sent me a video just yesterday, and it was somebody that happens to agree with the same things, but the things that they were saying were just stirring me up to be more ticked off. They were just making me more mad, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm just like, I just want to get out there and start fighting. But that's not God. God didn't call us to fight. God told us to stand in faith, trust him. Let the world do what the world's going to do. We do what we're supposed to do, amen? But there should be a difference, amen, glory to God. Revelation 12:11 says, I just want to pull it up here. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Oh, that I don't think the clock's working. Uh-oh. I'm like, man, I got lots of time here. I got a whole hour left. I've only preached for 2 minutes. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives till death. But look what it says. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. How do you get the blood of the Lamb? How does the blood of the Lamb help you? It helps you through your faith, right? Through what you believe. If you believe on Jesus, then the blood of the Lamb applies to you, right? So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, which is belief. And you overcome by the word of their testimony, which is also what you believe. We got to check up on what we're saying, what we're speaking, what's coming. You know, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if all that's coming out of your heart, all that's coming out of your mouth is bad stuff, you know, people get a tendency to do this if you have something rough in your life. I get there too. I understand it. But we have to fight against this. This is fighting the good fight of faith. You know, we'll start claiming things that, you know, we'll start embracing things and claiming things that aren't for us. You know, people start putting ownership on their sickness. This is my disease. Because this is my cancer or my gout or my backache or my this or my that. It's not yours. It doesn't belong to you. It's there. It's trespassing. Amen. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't trespassing. And what I mean by that, the Lord was showing me. I was in here praying this week. I was in here praying. And I was praying against somebody I know of, somebody through church business that I know of, somebody that we do business with, got COVID, and they got it really bad, and they're on a ventilator, and they're down in Pittsburgh and not doing really well. That's the word that I got. So they're in a really bad place. And, you know, I was praying for that person, and as I was praying for them, I said, you know, and they're a believer. I commanded in the name of Jesus. I said, I spoke to the disease, and I said, you're trespassing. And now I'm not saying what the Lord was showing me next was all about them, but he was showing me a point through the situation. So often we say to the devil, you're trespassing, but he's not. Because if you open the door and allow him in, he ain't trespassing. If you welcome somebody into the, listen, if you open the door to your house and you say, come on into my house to somebody, they're welcome there. You can't call the police 5 minutes later and say they're trespassing because they aren't. Amen? You know, in fact, there's this thing in the police world, like if my, you know, say my underage child or somebody or one of my children took my car and went and smashed it. And, you know, they were going to sue me. Somebody was going to sue me for it because they couldn't sue my child. They were going to sue me for it. And I said, well, they took the car against my permission. You know what? The only way to make that legal and make it a legal defense is for me to actually press charges against my child saying that they took it without that they stole it. And so most people wouldn't do that. And so that's how they've kind of killed that loophole of being able to do that. But see, Christians are trying to pull that pull all the time. They're opening the door wide to the devil, and they're saying, now you're trespassing here when they come in, and he starts wreaking havoc in your life, and he's looking at you like a fool saying, I ain't trespassing. You opened the door for me to come in. And until you close that door, you can pray all you want. That devil ain't moving. I said, until you close that door, you can pray all you want. You can have all the prayer teams get together. You can get on every prayer chain across the nation. But until you close the door, that devil has every right to be there. Amen. And so again, I'm not saying this about that man in particular, but I am saying it. That's the truth that the Lord taught me. We have to make sure that, because here's the other side that he showed me. Because if you've given the devil permission by your actions, you've given the devil permission, and he's in your life, he's in your room, and you say that you're trespassing and he's really not, you know what that makes you? A liar. And God doesn't like liars. God is a God of truth, not lies. And yet Christians are lying all the time because they're saying, devil, you don't belong here. He's saying, yes, I do. Praise the Lord. And so we need to make sure that we aren't liars. Amen? Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. If all you believe is what you see, you're in a load of trouble. We need to believe him. Their testimony was also what they believed. Their testimony is what they believed. When you testify, you are saying this is true as a matter of fact. When we give testimonies, we are saying this is what God did for me. This is a provable fact. Amen? At least they should be. You know, testimonies you can't prove aren't real good testimonies. Amen? But it's from a place of belief. And so both of these things, the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the word of their testimony are the things that they believed. Amen? Glory to God. Turn with me to real quick to Romans. Romans. You know what? I'm going to pull it up because I want to get into some other scriptures. I'm going to pull it up. Romans 10, 16, and 17. Write it down. We've been there before, but I just wanted to show you this. I want to highlight these things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing the report of the one ministering the word is incredibly important. And so when we, how are we going to overcome this world? How are we going to overcome in this world? We're going to do it by building our faith, believing the report. You know, we always read this scripture here, faith comes by hearing and hearing. But we sometimes forget about the one that comes right before it, which talks about they haven't all believed our report. Notice there's an importance of believing the report that's given. What's the report that's given? It's whatever you're hearing at the time. And so if you take the news, if you're listening to the news media and you're listening to all this stuff and you see things, you know, and this is the thing about, you know, recently I was seeking the Lord on this. I was meditating on the things of God. And when I say that, you know, I have a process of how I spend time with God. So it's hard to just explain it. So I just say these words that will kind of get you to get into the realm of what I'm talking about. But as I was meditating on these things with God and having time with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, what he showed me was this, because I've often heard this. Why didn't Jesus come like nowadays? Because if he came now, you know, there's we could record it. There's everybody would know. You'd be able. But here's the truth. We have all that ability, and it still gets manipulated. They take videos and cut 1 second off of it, give a different angle, spin it just a little bit, and they get people believing things that are absolutely not true. Folks, I'm just telling you the truth, and if you don't like what I'm saying, if you're online or whatever, you don't like what I'm saying, I'm sorry, it's the truth. And as long as we believe lies, we can't embrace the truth. And so what we're seeing is, and so what they would do is, what I'm saying is, even if Jesus came today, there's still their hearts wouldn't believe it because people would twist it, they would distort it, they would make lies out of it. You know, it's amazing the amount of lies. I see it and it's almost overwhelming. To me, it's overwhelming. And what's overwhelming to me is not what they're saying, but the fact that they're saying it and getting away with it. I mean, well, you don't understand. Maybe you do understand. I don't know. But we have to be leery, very leery of what we are hearing coming out of these news agencies. They are excited. They want you to think a certain way. They prove it over and over again by cutting off every other way of speech. You know, one thing I love about the Lord, the Lord doesn't ever say, don't question anything. In fact, everything I've seen, the Lord has opened the door for me to question everything. Why do I believe? I put what I believe through such harsh scrutiny. Why? Because I want to make sure I'm believing truth and not something I want to believe. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Always be leery of, especially people that start talking about being open-minded. Always be leery about stuff like that. Because when people start talking about being open-minded, they're usually the most closed-minded. And news agencies that are pumping all these lies out there, I'm telling you, it's getting worse than I just saw this on their Facebook. They banned the president from talking, but they'll allow the Ayatollah to talk. He can post whatever he wants. That's fine. The head of a terrorist country or organization is allowed to say what? Like, they're known terrorists. And that's okay. See, there's trouble in things like that. And so you have to understand that stuff is not stuff that we embrace. That's not our truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that to be political. I'm saying that to get you to understand that there's lies that are being spewed, and we have to look at it right. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you something that might be shocking to you. You are the church. Amen. You know, in Revelation, it says a lot. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Glory to God. You are the church. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. Listen to what the Word of God is saying to you. But when you listen to deceiving and lying spirits over and over again, and I'm hammering on this because it's so important for us to get. When we listen to, we need to start asking questions. If it's a coworker comes up and starts talking about saying, we need to start asking questions. Why are you saying that? Where is this coming from? Or what kind of blah, blah, blah. We have to start understanding that. Because a lot of the times, a lot of the things that are being said and shared are not things that people really know to be true, but there are lies that are being passed on. And because somebody else said them, so everybody else. You know, one thing I was saying to my wife this week, I think I was saying it to a friend too, we were talking about it. One of the things that social media has done bad, it has given everybody a platform. And in giving everybody a platform, it gives everybody the ability to voice their opinion. And when everybody has the ability to voice their opinion, they all of a sudden start thinking that they should voice their opinion. And when they start voicing their opinion, thinking that they should, what is this? This is just inflating pride. That's all that it is. And pride is from the devil. Pride is not from God. Amen. Your opinion does not matter. But social media tells you that it does. Now, why am I hammering this so much? Because this is where we live, folks. This is where we're at. We live in a world that is consumed by these social outlets. Even if you're not on it, don't think you're not being affected by it. Even if you're not, because I know there's people in here that aren't on social media, maybe more than in some churches, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. Don't think that you're not affected by it. You most certainly are. Because everything that's happening around you is being dictated by lies that are being spread according to these methods. Amen? Yeah. Including the political realm. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to bring up one more scripture before I have you turn somewhere, okay? John 16, 5 and 6 says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Now you might wonder, what does this have to do with the message today? Well, it's really simple. Jesus was telling them that, he's been telling them what's going to happen. Jesus was laying out for them the truth of what's going to be. But because he was telling them the truth and they didn't want to hear what the truth was, sorrow was filling their hearts. They weren't looking at what was actually going on. And that's the point that's being brought up here, is Jesus saying sorrow is filling your hearts and you shouldn't be sorrowful because what's coming. You know, this is just where he's about to tell them that the Holy Spirit was going to come and he was going to show them things to come and all those things. And of course, we love those scriptures, but the sorrow was filling their hearts. But I'll tell you today, the Christians are much the same way. If you talk about Jesus coming back, I'm going to tell you most Christians probably have no idea what that truly means, and another good portion of them are afraid of it. We should not be resisting the return of our Lord. My God, if you're resisting the return of the Lord, you have no idea what you are thinking. You are aligning with the devil. We need Jesus to return. That means, yes, we all go to heaven when Jesus returns. Praise God. Heaven is not this idyllic place that we just set up so you feel good about somebody dying. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is where we will spend the majority of our existence. We'll be in heaven. Heaven is not a sad place. Heaven is a place where we are finally broke free from all the bondages of life. There is nothing that can hold us back. There is nothing that can stop us. Heaven is where we will be in the very presence of God for all eternity. God, Christians, we don't die. We move to a different location. We need to start looking at death differently. We need to start looking at the end differently. We need to live this life and live it in joy, live it in fullness, knowing that we have a place that we are going that is far better than here. We are strangers here right now, but we are here to do a task. And while we are here, we're going to do that task. God is going to take care of us, and we will be fine. And as bad as things get, even in this country, it does not matter, because as good as it gets there, the least in heaven is better than the greatest here. And so what's the greatest here, the greatest evil here, can't even touch the lowest in heaven. Amen? And so we have to understand these things, and we have to fill ourselves with these things. We have to fill ourselves with these truths, and we have to know these truths. And this is the victory that we will have. The victory will be first the victory of our minds, the victories of our hearts, getting ourselves in the right place and believing the right things. Amen? Now turn with me to Joshua 24. People are only sorrowful because they do not understand. Glory to God. Let me say that again. People are only sorrowful because they do not understand. When you understand why God has you do what he has you do, it won't cause sorrow in your hearts. You know, at the beginning of this year, or last year, 2020, I was in Pensacola, and I was there to see Reverend Greer. And one of the things that Reverend Greer was prophesying, and of course, you remember, nothing had happened in January of 2020, not that we had really known. There was just like leaks a little bit about it, but there was nothing had changed yet. But one of the things that Reverend Greer had said by the Spirit of God is he said that this year was going to be a year of distraction. There were going to be many things that were going to cause to distract us. And that has proven out truth over and over and over again. Should Christians be afraid of the pandemic? Absolutely not. Should they be mindful of what's going on? Absolutely. Should they take precautions? Absolutely. Should they be afraid of what's happening? Absolutely not. It is a distraction. It is a distraction from the truth. The election and all the politics and all the things that are happening, whether you're left or right, doesn't matter. All of those things are a distraction. Being consumed with what the president is saying because you can't stand it, a distraction. Being consumed with what they're saying about the president because you can't stand that is a distraction. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. If it's not God's side, it's the wrong side. Amen. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what. See, that's the thing. Some people, you know, they hear me, preach about the president and stuff like that, and they say things where they think, well, you're just a Donald Trump supporter. I'm a President of the United States supporter. Praise the Lord. I supported Barack Obama in the sense that who was completely opposite of what I thought, what I believed, and should be of every Christian, because the things that he stood for were plain evil. But I stood for him, I prayed for him, I lifted him up. Why? Because if he fails, we fail. Yeah. The Bible tells us that. When there's peace in the land, there's peace for you. And so I want peace for me, so we'll pray for peace in the land. Amen? Whoever's in there. But whoever's in there doesn't matter. And if you're so focused that even what I just said bothers you, you are a Christian who is weak-minded. You are a Christian who has not filled yourself with Christ yet. Because Christ tells you it doesn't matter who they are. What matters is who I am. What matters is what he said. See, people are going to choose, they're going to choose sides based on, because, well, they're going to give me what I want. Well, if you're choosing sides based on what they're giving you, you're already wrong, because they ain't supposed to be giving you nothing. All you're supposed to be receiving is from heaven. And if you don't receive it from heaven, it isn't any good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christians, we need to think right. We need not to be political. You know, Christians are doing that too. They're getting on social media, and they're being political, and they're saying this, and you ought to think this way and that, think that way. And the whole time they're saying you ought to think this way politically, but they're leaving Christ in the background. Yeah. Exalt Christ, don't exalt a man. What man are you going to exalt that's going to be better than Jesus? I don't care if you wanted Joe Biden or if you wanted Donald Trump. It doesn't matter. They're both lower than Jesus. Exalt Jesus, for God's sakes. Be the church. The church is not supposed to do what the world is doing. The church is supposed to do what the church is doing. And the church is supposed to exalt God. Only God. Lift him up and all things will come into place. Hallelujah. You want to know why people's lives are in a wreck? Because they're not trusting God anymore. They're so consumed with their politics that they're believing God, they're believing the government to give them everything. And people still have a problem with me saying that. Listen, I'll cash the stimulus check. I don't care. I still think it's a terrible thing. I still think it's horrible for society. But if they're going to give it to me, I'm going to take it. Why? Because I will at least use it for good. I'm not saying that it's a, you know, I'm saying I would rather not see them go out because I'd rather see people trust God. Because if everybody learns to trust God, guess what? You don't need a stinking stimulus. God stimulate you all the time. You walk around in stimulus. Glory to God. Do you know that that's what the truth of the word is? Is you get to walk around stimulated, full of the Holy Spirit? How can you have the very God who created everything, created every nerve in your body, dwelling on the inside of you, and you not be stimulated? Weak-minded Christians go back to the vomit. They go back to the world. Oh, I got to get help here. You don't need any help but what the Holy Spirit has given you. You don't need any help but what every promise of the Word of God gives you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Forgive me if I get excited. I'm getting stimulated. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. I just tell you the truth. I'm just so fired up. I'm fired up with what God's doing right now. You know why? Because this stuff isn't going to touch us. It's not going to touch me. Praise the Lord, there's a lot of things that have come against us. There's a lot of things that have come against us this week. But I'm just going to tell you, listen, it's not stopping us. It's firing us up. It slowed us down for a minute, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you need to slow down and look around for a minute. Glory to God. Amen. You know, everybody, when there's, you know, the rest stops. We're all thankful when we have to have one. And never, no, especially if you're a guy, you never want to stop. You just want to keep going. Keep going. Keep going. No, we're going to get to the destination. But then somebody says, well, I got to pee. And it's always 10 minutes into the trip. I told you to go before. I did, but I got to go again. Okay, fine. So you stop at a rest stop 10 minutes into the trip. But you know, you sit there and you look around and you're like, this ain't so bad. The anger passes quick if you let it. Amen. Praise God. Joshua 24, verse 1. I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures here. So we're just going to do. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads. Not their heads, but the heads of the elders. Yeah. For their judges and for the officers. And they presented themselves before God. Not like that. They presented themselves before God. Christians, let's present ourselves before God in our lives. It's like, you know, it's like that's what the disciples did. They went out and did something good and they brought it back to God and said, look, praise, let's do that with our lives. Let's go before the Lord. Let's just every once in a while go back to look, God, look at this. You know? Praise the Lord. Get excited. God will like it. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. I'm just trying to get through these names, so bear with me. Dwelled on the other side of the river in old times. And they served what? Other gods. Then I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the river, led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. Okay? So he took this man out of that place that was no good and brought him to a good place. Right? To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, and Jacob, his children, went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, And I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. So you notice he's going through a timeline here. He's saying, I did this. They got into trouble, but I took them here. You know, that's what he's doing, just in case you don't really follow what's going on. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand. They were tougher than them, but I gave them into your hand. Hallelujah. That you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Girgashites. Are you a Girgashite? Have you ever wondered? Has anyone taken a DNA test and found out they were part Girgashite? Praise the Lord. I'd love to hear that. Man, that was I didn't know. I thought I was Swedish, but it turned out I'm Girgashite. Praise the Lord. The Hivites, the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. You know what I'm saying? But see, this is what he says. He's like, I delivered them into your hand. So he didn't just deliver them out of it, but he made them subservient to them. He delivered them to them. Here you go. Here's your enemies on a platter. Hallelujah. Think about that. That's not just victory, guys. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. So he's not even making them do the work. I have given you land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Have you ever wondered, stop for just a second, have you ever wondered why there is such an attack to try to change our history? Have you noticed that that's going on right now? Oh, everything that got us here, it's all wrong, it's all evil, it's all bad. Think about it, folks. But see, people are buying it up. Oh yeah, everyone who came here, every forefather got to tear down statues because any representation of them are evil. Why are they doing that? They're not doing that just because they're morons. I mean, that's part of it, but that's not just why they're doing it. They are being delivered, or they're being led to do so by the devil himself. Why? Because there's a point, there's a reason that the Lord had me use these scriptures. In these scriptures, through Joshua, he's prophesying and telling them all the things that he did for them. Think about the country we live in, and think about other countries around the world. In no country have people prospered like they do in this country. We look at what is hard for us now, and it is nothing compared to other countries. We don't see it. We're Americans. We've kind of got to this place. But we know the stories. Talk to a World War II vet, for God's sakes. If there, you know, there's not many, a ton of them left. But, you know, you talk to these people who paved the way for us to have the things that we have. And you think about all the technological advances and all these things that we have here, all the how there's been the freedom to conquer and to do all these things here. And what I mean conquer, I don't mean lands, but I mean conquer adversities and sicknesses and all these things. I mean, the people today are it's in and out procedures of things that, you know, 100 years ago that people would die from. And today it's just, you know, quick in and out. We are benefiting. That's exactly what it's saying here. We are benefiting from where somebody else plowed. We are benefiting in a land, and to say that the Lord wasn't in it would be foolish. Amen? Praise God. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities for which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. You know, just recently, my wife, you know, you know about some of the stuff that she had gone through. You know, she had to have a procedure done. And she went in there and she's like amazed by all the stuff in the room. You know what I mean? All the equipment. And didn't they tell you, they said, this is nothing. What we got in the other rooms. Like, see, that's a blessing. If you go to a hospital and they have all the gadgets and the things and they know exactly what they got to fit. You know, a lot of times, I know there's times where it takes, but it's still 1,000 times better than it was 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 30 years ago. It's still 100 times better. They're finding vaccinations for things almost overnight, and they're finding ways of curing things. Now they're even talking about things like they've located, you know, something like Alzheimer's, that they're starting to figure out what, and now they can start attacking the root cause of that and stuff like that. And, you know, just they're coming up with all these things that were lost on people for years, and they had no idea what to do. We're benefiting from all these things, and you think God ain't in it? You think God ain't helping you? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The poor in this country get to be fat. And I say that only to say this, that God takes care of us. That there's no real, and if we truly look around and see what's going on, we can see God working it out. I have known more people that have prospered in this year, 2020, I'm speaking of the last year, that I've known more people that have prospered in that year. I even know people that got laid off and made more money being laid off than they did while they were working. Now, I'm not saying that's sustainable or whatever, but what I'm saying is that people had an abundance, and there will still be an abundance if you follow God. We have increased this year more than ever. We paid off more debt this year. We just keep going after it, going after it. Why? Not because all of a sudden we're making all this money or floods of money have come in or anything like that. No, because God is good. He will prosper you in the land, because that's what God does. Praise the Lord. And so verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other sides of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Glory to God. And that's exactly what he said. Not be saying, look around you at the blessing. You know, listen, there's a lot of things that are, like there's a taste saying, there's all this stuff, but look how I kept delivering you and kept bringing you through. Guess what? 2020 was hard, wasn't it? What is right now? Is it 2021 yet? How many of us made it? Glory to God. You made it. We made it. Praise the Lord. We are here. We are in another year. We're in another time. It is not going to stop us. The things that have come before, we're not going to be in fear about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You've not built this nation, and yet we benefit from it. But see, notice this. God told his people the importance of recognizing him by recognizing what he has done. See, where sorrow always takes us is into this place of, I don't have it. It's always poor me, that kind of thing. But if you truly look at it, you can see where you're blessed. I'm sorry, and I apologize if you have to go ahead and go, but I have to read these scriptures. I want to get to 2 Timothy 3:10, because this is what the whole thing is built on. Amen. 2 Timothy Second Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of what? Them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now look it, because this is what we have going on today. This, folks, these scriptures are prophetic of today. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That scripture is maybe one of the most important scriptures for modern day Christians. People are being deceived, they are deceiving and being deceived. There are people that have spread so many lies that people don't even know what the truth is anymore. You know what the truth is? The Word of God. The truth is not what's out there. In fact, you can be pretty sure that even if they're giving you the truth, it is some manipulated version. And as I have recently, as I have found out in the past few months, it does not matter what news source you go to, they are all in on it, every single one of them. Some are worse than others. Some are bent a different way than others, but they are all liars. All of it. I'm telling you right now, it's liars. They're lying because they're not preaching the truth of the word. They're preaching some manipulated version of what they want you to believe. And even if what they want you to believe is what you want to believe, so you think that they're on your side, I'm telling you right now that they're not. They're deceiving. They're twisting things. They're trying to stir people up. They're inciting things in people. They're trying to get people to turn against God and turn towards the things of this world. And Christians are falling prey and victim of it left and right. They are falling down like dominoes because they're just soaking it all up. Because they're spending more time with that garbage than they are with the truth. They are deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Salvation is the protection. It is the way out. It's the answer. Salvation is always the answer for us. Salvation in any given thing is what we are after, right? And so the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are what make us wise for salvation. Not NBC, ABC, Fox News. I don't care which one it is. I'm telling you now, if you spend a lot of time with all of them, you will be deceived because they are all lying. Amen? I'm not saying every single thing they say is a lie, but they are manipulating the truth and turning it to produce whatever narrative they want. Amen? And finally, I'm going to close this with this real quick because it seemed right and good. Romans 12:2. We should know this because this is the year of transformation, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a good chance I might have this scripture in every sermon this year. If I do, praise the Lord. I can't say for sure that I will, but I just thought, man, we got to be reminded. We need to be transformed in our thinking. We need to think differently than the world thinks. We need to think like God thinks, amen? And when we embrace that, we will find the victory that we need. Because we have to understand the victory is already given. It's ours. We already have it. If there's a problem that arises, we already have the victory. If a new insurgence happens, if there's a civil war in this country, which there very likely could be, don't be deceived and think that there couldn't. Because we have almost been there already. If there's a civil war in this country, we still rise to the top. And we can't be in fear about it. God will protect us if we trust in him. Use our faith. We're going to stand strong. We're going to be victorious. We're going to be what we are to be. We are the church by God, and we aren't going to be stopped. Hallelujah.